When you take cover in your inner refuge, you must not go outside until it is absolutely safe. And if the fallout is heavy, you may be in your refuge for quite a long time. Although the danger from fallout will get less and less as time goes by, you will never be able to judge for yourself how bad it is. Advice will be given to you on the radio, so keep listening. This advice over the radio and other instructions and news will be very important to you while you're cut off from the people living around you. So make sure your radio is in good working order. And if you have a spare radio, keep it in your fallout room. Radios must be battery operated because your electricity may be cut off. So be sure to get some spare batteries.
Welcome to episode 3, Shortwave fans. I'm Web Weasel, your host, and once again joined by my comrades, Danix. Say hi, Danix.
Welcome back.
And presented in 4D.
Hey-o.
Sorry for the lateness of the show, everybody. We've all got busy lives. I've been off to Sands in London training, presented in 4D as a Minecraft addict.
Oh.
And we all live in different time zones, so we're a few hours apart, and getting together to record can be a bit difficult sometimes. Once again, thanks for the great feedback. At this point, we've had over 500 episodes of the second
listens of the second episode.
Yep. We've got great comments on IRC, great comments on the forum. We've had a couple of emails to the email address saying what great job we're doing. Thank you very much, everybody. We really, really appreciate it. Keeps us inspired to keep going on, keep producing the podcast for you. Okay, coming up in tonight's show, we've got coverage of activity over the last few weeks, what's been going on with UVB. Presented in 4D has a nice little piece on some research he's been doing with numbers and oddities and why the call sign may have changed. We've been looking at the messages and noted something interesting. We've got some recordings of the CONET project and some early day stuff from UVB. We've got a bit on why we hate Wikipedia. We've been talking to Wired. And we've been talking to Commander Bunny from WBNY. We'll talk about that later. Danix has a piece on the proper pronunciation of the Russian phonetic alphabet, so we can all better understand the pronunciations of the numbers and letters, so transcribing will be easier for all of us who are listening. Okay, starting part one, coverage of the last month. It's been busy in the world over the last few weeks. North Korea has been getting up to its old tricks. WikiLeaks has been stirring up the media, and there's been a lot of fun for us sitting back and watching. UVB has been pretty steady. Regular messages, not anything particularly special, no days of freakiness like we had last time with
EVX. Aside from one case, which we'll get to in a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the buzz has been pretty regular. It's been up and down, though. We've been noticing periods of very low power and periods of very high power. And particularly in the last couple of weeks, there have been particular outages about 6 a.m. It seems during that period, they might have moved their maintenance window that was discussed in various forums as being occurring at 7 a.m. during the early 2000s when UVB was monitoring then. It appears to have come back because all through September and October, UVB didn't have this outage period early morning. That's returned, so we've been noting that. During the days, we've had great big strong burst from UVB where the buzzer has been very powerful and it's been overpowering Leyte repeater. It's very noticeable with the static it causes when it's broadcasting very strongly. We've also been noticing periods of very, very weak buzzer, but where the buzzer itself is actually on a weak mode and you have a sudden switch where the buzz goes from quiet to strong. All of a sudden, so we can be very sure that it's the Russians playing with the transmitter rather than propagation effects or anything else causing the buzzer to be weakly received.
And actually, I was told in an email that some new direction finding has shown that the buzzer has probably moved a little bit east. Yes, east from where it originally was. So probably northeast, probably north toward, what is it now? It's St. Petersburg, but east.
Mm-hmm.
That was just something I got in an email.
Interesting. Yeah, because we're completely unsure of UVB's location, aren't we? I mean, we're having a lot of discussions about getting a set of triangulation aerials and us taking various coordinates from around Europe to see if we can reposition UVB. But with current propagation effects over the North Pole, it being winter, it's going to make it particularly difficult for the Northern Hemisphere areas to get accurate readings at the moment because it's interfering a lot with UVB's reception. We've had standard messages, as always. There's been one particular day that's been interesting, which was December the 9th, and we had 5 messages in succession that day. And let's just find that. Yeah. Starting at 11 in the morning and going on till 2 o'clock in the afternoon, we had 5 messages in quick succession. Very, very surprising. So something exceptional happened that day for UVB, or MDZHB, as we should call it, but nothing was going on in the media. We had a good look at Russian media at the time, all the military activity we could possibly get information about, and nothing special at all. So very curious about what happened that day. Okay, yeah, outages. Buzzer outages continued. Not as before. In our last podcast, we reported regular 2-hour windows where the buzzer was not available. As I mentioned earlier, we seem to have strong periods and weak periods now, which seem to be intentional. But one thing we have noticed is odd skips, where just the buzzer stops once. One buzz disappears. Some short instances of maybe 5 to 30 buzzer length gaps, but not that regular. Mostly we see odd skips. Very, very strange. Something else we've been seeing is military bleeding, or it sounds military. We've been noticing for the past 3 or 4 weeks that about once an hour or so, a military style speech comes over the channel. Not being broadcast from UVB, but exactly on the same upper sideband frequency as UVB. There's 2 guys, a high voice guy and a low voice guy, and they seem to work on separate 12-hour shifts. I'm going to splice that in at this moment, so here you go. Here's the high voice and the low voice guy as examples of what to expect. If you hear this when you're listening to the stream, then you're listening to these guys' interference. It's not anything else.
Thank you.
Okay, as I mentioned, Lade's receiver is getting very poor reception from 4 p.m. to around 8 p.m, varying roughly, and so are other tuners on global tuners as we have a look around. Anything in Sweden or Norway is having problems at these times as well. As I start to learn more about shortwave propagation myself, and I've having been clicking around on the net and reading a lot, come across a site explaining how the atmosphere is distorted over the North Pole, because that's of course where most of the ionic storms happen when the solar storms hit the planet, because of the pole. Now, this means that the ionosphere over the North Pole is very distorted, and it just happens that over Estonia and Sweden and Netherlands, where these receivers are, the ionosphere is very distorted, so that makes reception particularly difficult. If we listen to radios in Vienna, for example, at the same time, then we get absolutely clear reception of the buzzer, and found exactly the same with radios on the south of the UK in London and in Devon. But if listening from Edinburgh, then no buzz is received at all. So anything in the northern hemisphere, upper reaches, is having real problems receiving this winter due to heavy solar storm activity. It's a struggle listening to the stream at the moment. Don't be surprised if you hear a lot of interference, a lot of channel bleed from reflected signals due to the distortion. Presented, this is for you now, your bit on why the call sign has changed.
All right. Before I get to that, this is all from the Numbers and Oddities newsletter of October 2010. And first, what it says is it talks about that the transmitter site is just that. It's just a transmitter site. It talks about how really everything's phoned down from St. Petersburg over to the transmitter and just transmitted from there.
Which we've come to realize is quite possible, considering the PBX style interference we've heard, we discussed on the last show. And
oh, do you want to talk about that phone call first?
No, you carry on. We'll get to that afterwards.
Well, it wasn't as publicized, to my understanding, super much, but on the first, the president of Moscow, president of Russia, I'm not even going to attempt to say his name, I'm going to fail horribly, is because the military districts of Russia had merged into 4 new districts, the Western, Northern, Southern, and Eastern strategic commands, and each area has its own little radio station to communicate with each other's. UVB 76 used to be part of Moscow's, but the reason for the call signs change, which happened around the early September, was because two of them, St. Petersburg and Moscow, merged, and this changed it to MDZHB. Now, St. Petersburg used to have something else. I believe it was Plavitz 41. I'm looking on my notes. I'm not exactly sure what it used to be, but now it just has two. It has MDZHB and this other one.
Yeah, so what we're basically looking at is they've redistributed the military districts. They've put in a new, say, chain of command, or they've reallocated resources, possibly to do with the recession.
We have the Central Strategic Command, and I'm not going to name that city. It starts with a Y. If you want to look it up, you can. It has the R beacon, which is called Plavitz 41. We have the South Strategic Command, which has the PIP in Rostov-on-Don. We have Leningradsky, which... that is part of the new Western. That has the squeaky wheel in it. So the Western Strategic Command has a squeaky wheel and MDZHB.
Exactly. So, a redistribution of the military command districts has led to the function of the transmitter changing. It may be that the buzzer and MDZHB are sharing the same station, whereas before it was just UVB, UVB's purposes the buzzer, but the call sign has changed for voice messages because the district has changed.
No, that's not right. It's all
sorry.
It's all MDZHB. UVB76 is the call sign for that transmitter.
All right, the
transmitter,
retired call sign. Yeah.
The retired call sign. It was the buzzer and the voice messages. It was just naming what the station is, and they did nothing but change to the name of that station. That's all that happened.
Okay, but also there's been more allocation of resources under that section, most likely, hence the increase of messages to daily, would be the reasonable explanation we're looking at.
Yes. And also the November 2010 newsletter, this isn't as related, it discusses other parts of the Soviet network, and if you listen to the last podcast, we talked about a station called Vulcan. And I'm just going to read a little small snippet from the latest newsletter. I'm cutting out a lot of these call signs just because I probably can't pronounce it. The call signs mentioned in the calls are part of a strategic network. I don't know what stations are alive these days. During the Soviet days, the network included, amongst others, as the following stations. There are multiple stations here in Vulcan. Now, Vulcan is obviously still around, as we heard it being communicated with just a few weeks ago, and it was all part of something called Radio Network Number 43, or 143, depends how you translate it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. Vulcan is a recurring word in association with UVB activity, isn't it? We've encountered it in multiple sources when we've been looking around.
It seems like that's a code name for MDZHB, such as Riabina for S-32 or the Squeaky Wheel. See, mm-hmm. It's just a code name.
Yeah, but it's interesting. If the Russians are supposed to be keeping this stuff secure and unknown, they're not doing a very good job of it.
Well, again, as my theory goes, it's just simply the high-frequency global communication system, basically, of Russia. Not for their Air Force, but for their military and army and such. That's my theory, at least.
Yeah. The other thing we've noticed in particular, looking over the messages, we have to give a lot of praise to Danix here because he's built a fantastic study page, keeps it updated with all the changes of UVB and its activity. If you're not aware of it, have a look at http://danix111. That's danix111.cba.pl/ns/uvb-76.html. This page contains every message that we've managed to find that's been broadcast. Of course, some of the earlier ones are speculation, so watch out for the ones with the UVB call sign. They're mostly from internet reports. We can't verify recordings of all of them. But the ones with the MDZHB call sign should be more or less accurate. Danik's done a great job of collecting these. We've got a list of the oddities, but one of the things we've really noticed, and we'd like to bring to your attention in this podcast, because we haven't analysed the messages up until this point. We've only really covered UVB's activity. But the important thing is, we found duplicates. Lots of duplicates. The messages that are being broadcast are not one-time pad encryption numbers or codes to be used. They are command words. There isn't exactly a code to crack. Let's give you an example. A particularly interesting example is we've got crosses between UVB76 broadcast and an MDZHB broadcast. So on the September of the 5th, 2010, it's probably a mistaken call sign, we guess. One of the last UVB messages was UVB76 16703 Pregrada, Pregrada 80180657. This was broadcast again on November the 7th and on December the 1st. Interestingly, it was 20 to 2 on September the 5th, 20 to 3 on November the 7th, and 20 to 3 on December the 1st. So interesting time coloration with the same code word. In each of these examples, the number set and the code word are identical. So for all three, Prigrada, and for all three, 80, 18, 06, 57. This proves conclusively that this is not a one-time pad encryption code being used to send messages to spies foreign lands. It would be useless as this kind of system, as we'll demonstrate with our talks about cryptography in later shows, because a one-time pad needs to be exactly that, one time only. If it's repeated, it can be broken, just like any other code, and the secrecy is lost. So, what we're looking at with repeated code words is we're actually broadcasting code words, not ciphers. The code words would be stored in a military handbook used by the radio operator to communicate tasks to military districts. Now, I'm not a military guy, so I can only give you a rough speculation. Hopefully some of you will be able to suggest better meanings for the code words. If you do, email them in, let us know. Tell us on the forum, tell us on the IRC. But a guess would be, one code word means raise your alertness level to the next level up because there is an impending attack. The second code word is lower your alert level because there is no threat anymore. This is an example. We would expect perhaps regular communication if it was those particular kind of messages, and considering the broadcast is once a day, it's unlikely.
But we don't have that many people monitoring the other stations. But we have indeed noticed an increase of traffic between this and, what is it, the PIP.
Mm-hmm.
Probably we've had one message, two, three messages a week, actually, with the PIP. So there is obviously some talking between them.
Or relation in their messages due to them being separate military districts, but using the same familiar code words or commands, that kind of thing. One of the things I noticed recently, clicking around, is a few of the messages reported either by the PIP or the squeaky wheel, I can't remember which in particular, were using exactly the same format, although not a repeated word that UPB has used, but exactly the same format of word and number combination.
Formerly, they did only 4, number, etc., over. And now they have been doing the same high-priority alert messages. That's what the ESR called their high-priority alert messages.
You could draw a random conclusion that UVB was important in the past, and perhaps the squeaky wheel and the PIP weren't so important. Now they've had their status upgraded or their function changed as a whole. So maybe UVB has basically stayed what it should be, and the PIP and the squeaky wheel have changed their function completely.
I'm sure that they're all important, just classified.
Okay, so messages are duplicates. This is interesting because it makes it very frustrating for us, because what it really means is UVB isn't a number station. We haven't got any codes to crack.
Well, no, it depends what you define a number station as.
True. Yeah. Of course, any strange shortwave broadcasting numbers and word combinations could be considered number station, but since we can be reasonably sure now that this is actually a military communication station, do you think it counts, considering the general definition of a number station is that it's broadcasting to spies in foreign countries?
Yeah.
Would you say that rates a difference, that it's a different kind of station?
I'm sure that it could be classified as a military station. Yeah. I guess.
Alright. Okay. Right, moving on from duplicates, we did have a before we do, we shall play you two different duplicate messages here.
Михаил, Дмитрий, Женя, Борис. 45, 452. Дмитрий, Роман, Елена, Николай, Дмитрий, Ольга, Ульяна, Татьяна. 28-52-44-71.
Татьяна, 28-52-44-71. Михаил, Дмитрий, Женя, Борис. Михаил, Дмитрий, Женя, Борис. 56-852. Татьяна, Роман, Елена, Николай, Ольга, Григорий. Иван, Иван Краткий, 86-06-59-44, Дмитрий, Роман, Елена, Николай, Дмитрий, Ольга, Ульяна, Татьяна, 28-52-44-71.
Okay, now we have the phone call message. On December the 16th, we had a very strange transmission, which we're going to play now. As you could hear, that sounded like a phone call. It didn't sound like it was supposed to be broadcast over the air. There was no call sign. Before the actual words were mentioned, they were said out loud instead of spelled out, which came second. And that guy was speaking casually as if he was not broadcasting. So we think that came over the air by mistake. And interestingly, a couple of hours later that afternoon, the same message was broadcast over MDZHB. So, we've got a proper mistake.
Михаил, Дмитрий, Женя, Борис. 54 589. Анна, Роман, Ольга, Иван Красный, Николай, Иван, Константин, 11 90 28 30, Семен, Роман, Ольга, Николай, Щука, Иван, Цапля, Анна, 36 30 49 03, Михаил, Дмитрий, Женя, Борис, Михаил, Дмитрий, Женя, Борис, 64 589, Анна, Роман, Ольга, Иван Краткий, Николай, Иван, Константин, 11 90 28 30, Семен, Роман, Ольга, Николай, Щука, Иван, Цапля, Анна, 36 30 49 03.
Not that we can really gain too much information from it, but it was mentioned that the word volcano popped up. So once again, we have another reference to volcano, that unit in particular, in connection with UVB. So that makes two accidentally broadcast phone calls over MDZHB that have included the code word volcano and associated them with the messages that we're listening to right now. We can definitely conclude that this is not a one-time pad encryption in the slightest. It is definitely command words for military units. The leaked phone calls really sealed the deal for us, because we get this association with the military unit that's being broadcast to, or that's a reasonable conclusion we can draw from the information we've got. Okay, next bit. We've got presented in 4D with some recordings from the CONET project of UVB.
For many years, we have been looking for the first UVB transmission. It's the Bromol one from 1997. Now, we've known that the CONET project has some stations in there that we really don't know what they are. And there's a big example right there, completely oblivious. Obviously, we didn't really know about the call sign until the 1997 message, but it's been there all the time. We have.
If the message is the same, then you have to assume that it's exactly the same broadcast and people just haven't realized it all this time.
The CONET project was released in 1995. The Bromol message was in 1997. We have two messages from pre-1995 that say the words UVB-76 in them. Just once. They have a completely different format. They're only numbers. But this is a big step ahead. We found that we've had messages all along that we never even noticed. And they've been there the entire time. We've had UVB-76 in the beginning, and then at the end is a repeat, and it says, this is UVB-76. Now, we've never heard the Yah UVB-76, except for once, which is a Bromo recording, but I've never heard a Bromo recording, which doesn't exist.
Isn't the point that these are on different frequencies as well from what we know UVB-76 to be on at the time?
Not that I know of. It's never given an actual frequency of these recordings, so it couldn't be anywhere.
Okay.
It doesn't say, it's not labeled as the buzzer, so it could easily be on a different frequency. We have had reports of UVB-76 being on different frequencies.
Yeah, it has been mentioned in several different sources in the early days that it's been sort of like half a kilohertz up and half a kilohertz down. on frequencies, isn't it? So like three have been broadcasting at the same time. And broadcasting the buzzer as well from the reports that are out there. Whether or not this is true or not, we're not sure. But on searching those frequencies, it doesn't seem to be happening now.
It has. According to Numbers and Oddities, I don't have the exact frequencies, but they're in 7 megahertz, I believe in 5 megahertz, that the buzzer has been relayed on by the transmitter, as well as there has been different voice messages on the other frequencies that aren't on 4625.
I'm out of date with my information. I'm going to have to read that newsletter. Okay, if that's the case, then we're definitely going to have to start looking on those frequencies. Hope my new radio turns up soon. Next up, we hate Wikipedia. Don't we, guys? Danix, how much do you hate Wikipedia?
Because they revert all our edits in a UFB 76 article. We just write what is recently on the station, but they revert it. But they say that it's not sourced or anything.
Yep.
Apparently Danix's website is not legit, but Jan, whatever their last name is. And now there's a fight going on. Should we even have anything there? Because that can't be proven legit, and nor can Numbers and Oddities, and gets me mad.
Yep, apparently it's all fake. Because we're amateur, you see, and we're not professionals at doing this, none of the evidence we collect counts as proper material. It's first-hand research.
So we're going to try and publish a book now, and we're going to make that legit.
Yeah, so the problem is, even though the information we collect is valid, we can check with either our own radios, as Danix and Presented in 4D do, or with Global Tuners, as I do, or on the stream, to check UVB's activity. How our research cannot be considered legitimate, we don't know. But according to the admin that in his little fife is the UVB page, he refuses to allow any of our research because we're amateurs. Great. We're out there. We're working hard. Wikipedia hates us. So what? We don't like them anymore. Wikipedia sucks.
Just to clarify, the removal of some content on the basis of unsourced / poorly sourced isn't an endorsement of the other sources. I don't doubt that there are other sources that shouldn't be considered particularly reliable, and therefore content which is based upon those sources should be removed. On the general issue of sourcing this article, that UVB-76 may be a secret radio station of some description doesn't mean we should lower our requirements for information to be poorly sourced. Where appropriate sourcing is difficult / impossible, we either have to have a brief article which covers the basics, or where there are reliable sources, we simply don't have an article.
That's the point. If you really look at their rules, we've been putting up information from our blogs.
However, there is a rule, which is WPV, states that reliable sources are required only when the information is likely to be challenged. They're breaking their own rules.
Yeah, exactly. Blogs that are now removed and you stored in the Wayback Machine and so on, even though they're exactly the same kind of research as us, apparently they count as reliable sources, even though they don't exist anymore and they're not maintained. And our active research, because it's original, isn't. I can't see the difference, but it's Wikipedia politics. Wikipedia is that kind of thing you have a love-hate relationship with. You love it because it really does contain great information, but when there's something you're passionate about and it's wrong, and they keep getting it wrong, you hate it. You know, what can you do? We hate Wikipedia. We love Wikipedia. Or whatever. Okay, so back to where we were going. Let's stop hating Wikipedia. Let's go on to Wired. We were contacted by Wired magazine. Not because we were doing the podcast, just because we were active members of the forum. Some guy, I'm not going to reveal his name, but claims to be a reporter from Wired magazine, has interviewed all of us a couple of times. We've had couple of private messages, answered a series of questions, and apparently the magazine will be out in April or May next year.
Really? So, he never answered my question. I asked when it would be out.
Well, April or May is when I was told, which seems odd for me, you know, that much of a delay, considering he's working on it several months. It's just not right. I mean, are you going to get paid that much for an article that you can spend 4 or 5 months working on it, like he seems to have?
Well, I've noticed that his articles seem to be longer articles and such. And his deadline is actually just a few, like probably a week ago.
Yeah. Well, he did say his deadline was like the next morning when he PM'd me at midnight with a few last minute questions.
Yeah, me too. We actually got into a pretty long conversation about me hearing M8A. The Morse Cuban station.
Yeah, he said he was looking for that special touch bit. I hope you got it there, man. Yeah. Either way, if it gets published, have a look in Wired, either online or in the magazine, wherever it's going to end up, in April or May, because we all got interviewed because of our passionate interest in UVB and shortwave and listening to number stations in general, and there'll be an article, and we should be there under our online pseudonyms. So thank you very much, Wired. If we get in there, fantastic. Okay, moving on from that, the next one. WBNY, Commander Bunny. In America, there's plenty of shortwave pirate stations, and one of the most fun ones to listen to is WBNY, Commander Bunny, the Rodent Revolution. So you want to go to shortwavepirate.info/WBNY/. Here we will find the downloadable shows of Commander Bunny, who I am now a major fan of, because his shows are fantastic. Remind me of the Kenny Everett show from the BBC in the 1980s on radio, which were brilliantly done. So yeah, join the revolution. Listen to Commander Bunny. He's great. We love him because he broadcast episode 2 of our podcast on pirate radio across the whole of America. How cool is that?
Not very cool when you're getting hunted by the FCC.
shortwavepirate.info/WBNY. Go listen to Commander Bunny's shows. We support him 100%. Okay, next up, we're not going to record this bit right now. Danix is going to record it offline and we're going to splice it in. But Danix will be doing pronunciation of the phonetic Russian alphabet. Now, I don't speak Russian personally, so I've had a lot of trouble listening to the messages and picking out various words. Stuff like Pavel, Roman, Olga, those ones are easy. But when it's odd letters like Simon for S, and Ivan Kratsky, and then Ivan for Y or B, whichever ones they are, I still get mixed up. So what I really need to hear is someone saying 1 to 10 or 0 to 9 in Russian, with 0 to 9 listed in English as well, and A to Z in Russian, with A to Z with the NATO phonetic equivalents, so I can hear what they sound like and pick them out. Apparently, Yakov is a J. What? Yakov? J? But it's pronounced with a Y. I'm confused. So, here we go. This is Danix doing Russian phonetic alphabet for us.
So, it'll do in Russian alphabet order, which is different from normal Latin alphabet. It'll include ICAO or NATO phonetic alphabet words either. A. Alpha. Anna. Anton. Alexei. B. Bravo. Boris. V. Victor. Vasily. G. Golf. Galina. Grigori. D. Delta. Dmitry. Daria. E. Елена, not really E, it's usually E. Ж, Жук, Женя. З, Зинаида, Зоя, Зина. И, Индия, Иван. И кратко, just J, Juliet, Иван краткий, or sometimes just краткий. К, кило, киловатт, Константин. Л, Лима, Леонид. М, Майк. Михаил, Мария. Н, Новембер, Николай. О, Оскар, Ольга. П, Папа, Павел. Р, Ромео, Роман, Радио. С, Сьерра, Сергей, Семен. Т, Танго, Т, Тамара, Татьяна. У. Юниформ. Ульяна. Ф. Фокстрот. Федор. Х. Харитон. Ц. Чарли. Центр. Цапля. Ч. Человек. Yes, yes, it's more like чи. Ш. Шура. Щ. Щука. Твердый знак. Not a letter, that's hard mark. Use it to make syllables sounds harder. Transcribe it as harsh. Ы. Янки. Y. Бр. Ер. Мягкий знак. Not a letter too, that's soft mark. Use it to soften syllables or letters. Transcribe it as apostrophe. Э. Эко. Эдуард. Эмилия. Эхо. Not pronounced as е. Ю. Юри. Я. Яков. And that's all.
Okay, everybody. Hope you enjoyed that, and hope that makes listening to the UVB messages much clearer. Right. Now we have an interesting piece. Because this is a podcast about number stations, we felt we'd give you a number station to listen to. Our number station that we made. So if you want a QSL card, because we're not really in broadcast, well, we are a Pirate Bunny, but that doesn't really count. But if you want a QSL card for the podcast, and the shortwave enthusiasts should know what that is, here is our number station broadcast for you to decode. If you find the code word, send it to the email address that's in the message, and we will send you a UVB 76 and Number Stations podcast QSL card in the post. So, for those of you who are not into cryptography and are doing this for the first time, what you're going to hear is a short piece of music in a number station style, and then a voice repeating numbers and letters. Write down the numbers and letters as they're said in their groups, then try and work out what the encoding is. Because I know that a few of you are going to try this without knowing anything about cryptography at all, I've made this one extremely easy. It's not ciphered in any way. That means it's not encrypted. It's just encoded. So if you recognize the encoding format, and the particular clue here is the letters, if you recognize the coding format, you should be able to work out how to convert it very, very easily. We'll have the explanation of how to do so in the next episode, and we're going to keep producing these every episode, making them progressively more difficult, and then have the solution in the next episode, so we get to encourage you into the fascinating world of cryptography, frequency analysis, and all the other fun that comes with it. So, here is our number station broadcast.
Five, four, six, Foxtrot, 2, 0, 6, 7, 6, 5, 7, 4, 2, 0, 7, 9, 6, Foxtrot, 7, 5, 7, 2, 2, 0, 5, 1, 5, 3, 4, Charlie, 2, 0, 6, 3, 6, 1, 7, 2, 6, 4, 2, 0, 6, 5, 6, Delta, 6, 1, 6, 9, 6, Charlie, 2, 0, 7, 9, 6, Foxtrot, 7, 5, 7, 2, 2, 0, 6, 1, 6, 4, 6, 4, 7, 2, 6, 5, 7, 3, 7, 3, 2, 0, 7, 4, 6, Foxtrot, 2, 0, 7, 0, 6, Foxtrot, 6, 4, 6, 3, 6, 1, 7, 3, 7, 4, 4 0 7 5 7 6 6 2 2 Delta 3 7 3 6 2 Echo 6 3 6 2 6 1 2 Echo 7 0 6 Charlie 2 0 7 7 6 9 7 4 6 8 2 0 7 4 6 8 6 5 2 0 6 3 6 Foxtrot 6 4 6 5 2 0 4 9 3 4 4 Delta 3 4 3 3 3 1 3 3 3 3 3 7 3 3 4 3 3 0 4 4 3 3 4 2 5 2 3 3 3 4 4 Beta 3 3 5 2
That's more or less the end of the show, everybody. Find us on IRC to chat at irc.mibit.com. That's MIBBIT. Find us on channel #UVB-76, UVB in capital letters. Email us at the podcast@UVB-76.cba.pl. Check the podcast page for updates at http://uvb-76.cba.pl. Listen to the stream on Blogspot, uvb-76.blogspot.com. Join us on the forums at uvb76.freeforums.org. And of course, check out Danix's page with all the messages that we have found so far. Danix111, that's danix111.cba.pl/ns/uvb-76.html. Here you'll also find a link to his work in progress, which is an archive of all UVB and MDZHB messages that have been found and recorded so far. So eventually, once the page is complete, we'll have an entire archive of every message that we have recorded or anyone else has managed to record and publish on the internet. Okay, that's a show, guys. Say goodbye, everybody.
Thanks for listening, guys. I love you all.
Bye.
Yeah, thanks for listening. See you next time. Goodbye.
Stood in the wings with her, our lives in the hands of the cigarette.